Okay. My name is Lily Gannon. I am 16 years old. Today is December 2nd, 2019, and I'm speaking with my grandmother, Mary Jo. We are in Rochester, New York. All right, so just, can you start by saying your name, age, and we already said that part. So just your name and age.
Hi, my name is Mary Jo Trotter Terpster Watson. That's my whole name because I was married, and then my husband passed away, and I got remarried. I'm 68 years old. I have two daughters and four granddaughters.
All right, so what was the best memory of your childhood?
The best memory of my childhood. Well, there's a lot of them that were pretty cool, but there was one when I was probably 10, maybe 9 or 10. My mother used to put up the ironing board in the living room, and during the summer, she would iron, and we watch old movies and at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it was just fun, and we'd sing, and you know, so that's a pretty cool memory of just me and my mom.
Mm-hmm. Who has been the most important person in your life?
Again, my mother. I mean, I would say it's a hard one because my husband Douglas, who passed away, he was the most important to me in one way, and that we grew up together. We got married when we were teenagers, and he was just a stable rock, and I adored him. But my mother, I mean, she was so smart, and she was just a strong influence on me and my values. And I may be saying it because she recently passed away, but I think if she was still alive, I'd still be saying it because she was amazing.
Sorry, I'm tired. So I know you didn't always live in Rochester, right?
No, I always lived in Rochester. I grew up in Irondequoit. I went to St. James School, K-8, and then I went to Mercy, and a little time in Nazareth College, and then I got married. So I've always lived in Rochester. My parents used to live in Detroit.
All right. Do you know how our family first came to the country, or this country?
Well, I don't know much about my father's side of the family, but I do know about my mother's side of the family. Her grandmother, her grandmother's parents, I think, came over from Ireland. And so that's a long, long time ago. And they came over and they didn't have much money. And, it was my grandparents, my mother's grandparents that came over. And they came over and they struggled. They never owned a home. And, but they came over from Ireland along with they all kind of trickled in.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. Is there something that has happened in your life that you never imagined would happen?
I guess I never imagined when I was growing up that I would be married to someone so amazing and then have two daughters and four granddaughters, and that I, this kid who grew up in Irondequoit, New York, would have this amazing family. I could never imagined it. It's like a fairy tale came true.
How did you meet Papa, which would be Doug?
Right. How did I meet him? Well, this is kind of a funny story. He worked at the gas station around the corner from me, and he was so cute, I had a giant crush on him. So I used to take my father's car and go get gas. And so then I went to a party when I was in high school, and everybody was drinking, myself included, underage. You know, I was a senior in high school, and he was drinking too, and somehow just started kissing me and telling me to break up with my boyfriend. And I did, but not right away. But yeah, so he went back to the party the next night and it wasn't half as fun. He said I didn't go. But that's how I got to meet him, because he worked at the gas station. I thought he just was not kind of a flunky. I mean, because he just worked at a gas station. But I didn't realize he was going to plumbing school and a plumber during the day and working side job at the gas station, because he was always hustling for cash. So that's how I met him.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've known Larry, which is yes. your current husband, for yes. a long time. How did you meet him?
Well, I met him because Larry, when we were first married, and it was like September of 1970, your father was looking for a helper, and for what company he was working for, I can't remember, it doesn't really matter. And somebody said, well, Larry Watson, he's looking for a job, and I think your grandfather may have known him a little bit. And so they got together and they started working together, and all of a sudden they became closer than brothers. And his girlfriend Diane, she and I became closer than sisters. And she even brought her sewing machine. We lived in an apartment before. She brought her sewing machine over, and we'd put it on the kitchen table, and we'd both sew, and we'd spend time together. It was like all of a sudden this instant connection. And then Papa and I had children, and Larry and Diane were a huge part of their life, my daughter's lives. We owned some property and down in the Italy Valley, and your grandfather and Larry used to go down and take your mother and Aunt Kim, and they'd have they'd sit on their laps when they drove their tractor and mowed the lawn. So that's how long I've known Larry, since 1970. And so when your grandfather passed away, he was devastated. It was his best friend. And so then now he tells you girls stories, because he shared pretty much the same history I did. So he can tell you grandchildren, all about your grandfather and your mother and your aunt when they were growing up, because he was a part of it all. So that's how I met Larry.
Yeah, he always tells a story about how he each gave them 100 pennies to get 100 gumballs.
Oh my gosh, they came home from the store. There was a store around where Larry and Diane lived. And so he took them over to the store, and they came back with they looked like they just had their wisdom teeth out. I mean, their faces were giant. It was hilarious. I'm like, Larry, And I believe your mother says he's still as immature now as he was, But he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And he loves all of us with every ounce of his. And he feels pretty blessed. Because, mm-hmm. of course, Diane died too, mm-hmm. right after your grandfather.
Yeah, that story. I know bits and pieces about it. But I don't really remember when you and Larry moved in together.
Well, what happened was Diane was dying of cancer. And she was diagnosed in January of 2000, or right after Christmas. So Christmas of 2004, she was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer. And so then she got sicker and sicker, and he was hoping Papa would get him through this and everything. And, it got pretty bad at the end. And so, but then your grandfather passed away very suddenly of a heart attack. And so he was around, and then Diane died 3 weeks to the day. Papa died June 5th, and she died July 1st. And so Larry and I just leaned on each other. And he was lonely. His daughter, he only has one child, and she was severely handicapped, and she ended up going into a group home when Diane got sick. And so he was just lonely. And so he'd come over. I remember when we were first grieving, you'd almost become an insomniac, Excuse me. And one night, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was on the computer in the office, and all of a sudden I saw something in the driveway, and I thought it was the paper boy, and it was Larry. He couldn't sleep over. He's knocking on, So then it just became, he was lonely. He wanted to sell his house, and I asked my kids if he could. I used to call them the big three, Mom, Kim, Kelly. And I asked what they thought, and they said, why not? You're both lonely, and you've been friends for 35 years. So that's when he moved in.
Mm-hmm. And now you're making a move to a new house like every year, three years.
The first house I moved from was because your grandfather died there. I stayed 2 years. And then we moved to the other house. It was a pretty nice house, except they built a house right on top of us, and the old people didn't put their curtains up, and I could see them going to the bathroom. And the third house, we stayed at that one 4 or 5 years, and the other one we stayed 6, was because we had his office upstairs, and he couldn't climb the stairs anymore. So that's when we decided to move to a ranch. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not moving again. I don't have the stomach for it.
That's what you say now.
No, I do. I'm too tired. Larry talks about moving all the time. It just drives me crazy.
Because he likes that one big house on, what road is it? We used to pass it all the time. It's like deep back.
Probably with house. A corn lot and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. He talks about it all. Mary Jo, I think we need to get something with a corn lot. And dude, I said, will you be quiet?
Oops.
You don't even want to mow the lawn, you know, so. Anyway, he's just Larry. He likes to be silly.
Mm-hmm. With all his little dogs. Let's see. And do you have any nicknames? And if you do have them, what are they? And how do you get them?
Now work calls me MJ. Everybody calls me MJ. When I was in high school, Pam Moulton lived across the street from us, and she called me Joey. Isn't that funny?
Why?
I don't know. She just did. And the nickname I loved the best that I haven't been called since June 5th, 2005 was Mo.
Mole?
Mo, M-O.
Oh.
Because your grandfather used to, when he'd say Jerry Mo instead of Mary Jo. Jerry Mo.
Oh.
You know, being silly. And then it just moved to Mo. And then when he'd give me cards or something, or I'd sign a card, I'd sign Mo. And I miss being called Mo.
But oh, yeah. People call me Gilly Lannon.
Gilly
all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Gilly Lannon. So it's like Jerry Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's funny.
It's funny. So they could, hey, Gilly?
Yes.
I'm going to call you Gilly. And you know what else we used to do? And I don't know if people do this anymore. In high school, we all called each other by our last name.
Yes, I get called Gannon. Grace will call me Gannon.
Oh, yeah, she will. I know we had a high school reunion and I didn't go. My maiden name, of course, is Trotter. And Debbie ran into somebody. She didn't go either. And somebody said, everybody was looking, where's Trotter, Weast, and Gay? You know?
Yeah.
You know, that was our maiden name. So Marianne and Debbie are my friends since we were in kindergarten. So mm-hmm. We've been friends a very long time. But yeah, I've only MJ, Jerry Moe, and Moe, and then Joey.
Yeah. They all call me, I don't know, that's kind of weird how the whole last name thing. Because yeah. No one goes around calling like Grace Hansen.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why they do it. I mean, it's just, we called everybody by their last name. I never said Debbie, I'd say a Weast. And Marianne's last name was Gay. Okay, Gay, you know, we called everybody by their last name in high school. I have no idea why.
What's your best memory from high school? I know you went to, how many people were in your graduating class?
225, I went to Our Lady of Mercy.
Oh, I thought that was, it was a lot less.
No, we were the biggest graduating class ever.
Oh, wow.
225, how many in your class?
Oh, there's like 300 something. It's a really small class.
Oh, we were the largest class that ever graduated. What's my best memory of high school? Boy, that's a tough one. Graduating was cool. And I enjoyed high school. A lot of people find it angst-ridden. Of course it was angst-ridden, but I wasn't especially popular, so you didn't have that burden. And I wasn't unpopular. I did well in high school, and I had friends. You know, I know when Debbie's daughter said after, where's Weaston, Gay, and Trotter? She says, were you popular? Debbie said, not at all, because we weren't popular, you know. And my best memory, I don't know. I have so many little memories. I can remember one time I was walking down the hallway, and some girls picked me up and threw me into a classroom.
What?
That was crazy. I mean, I'm like, oh, you're in there. Well, you know, I don't even remember what else happened. And, but we just, sometimes in class, you'd act silly and be stupid. And yeah. And when I graduated from high school, I graduated Eastman Theater. And my Aunt Dorothy and Uncle Elmer were there, and they were always kind of, I always thought they were a little stiff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I crossed the, poet stage, you know, with my name, and there, I hear people, wah! You know, screaming, and that sort of thing, like we did when Natalie graduated. And I thought, oh God, what will Dorothy and Elmer think? And it was Dorothy and Elmer. But I mean, I had a lot of nice high school memories. There weren't any really horrible high school memories. Maybe boyfriends dumping you and, you know, all that social angst. But school itself was okay, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you wore uniforms. And so everybody was kind of on the same playing field. You didn't know who had money. You could kind of figure it out. But, yeah, I thought high school was okay.
I've heard nobody's high school experience like my mom's, or like how someone was on top of your roof.
Oh, God, yes. It was awful. Well, that wasn't high school. It was just social. And, but yeah, wait, have you ever been in Earl? Did you ever go into Pine View Drive?
Is that the one where, like, Deb used to live?
I don't know. A friend of maybe Teresa's or something.
Too many houses. Oh,
Where we grew up.
Were we just talking about this? I think that, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's by the high school. It's got that house with the gargoyle in front. It's like in that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
We lived in Penfield Hills.
Yes.
So,
I know what you're talking about. There was no gargoyle, though. No, there's like a house right before you enter the neighborhood with the gargoyle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we were all sleeping, and Kim had a room, like, she was at the end of the thing, the end of the house, so to speak, and then there was a tree right in front of her window, and then you could walk across the roof, because there was a lower roof, and so Kim wakes up, and she got scared, because somebody was walking across the roof, trying to see your mother, and so she comes in, dad, you know, so Doug runs down, and the kid ran away, and then we called the police, and the police said, do you have a weapon in the house, sir? And I can't remember. I think he said yes, and he said, I would have brought him in and shot him. That's what the policeman said. And your mother slept through the whole damn thing.
Oh, my goodness. She still does that.
Yeah, it was so funny. She slept through everything. So, yeah, her school experiences were, you know, she graduated, and she did great, but it was kind of tough. And she was going to, she was economics. She was never good at math and that sort of thing. So she was going to fail. And so we sat every night and studied together. I could have taken that final. And she did. She passed. And when she graduated from Mercy, again at the Eastman, I made Papa and Kim sit in the front row. And because Kim's like, I was so embarrassed, you know, I said, I got this diploma too. So then the nun she had taught me world history, and she was at that point the assistant principal. She came up and she hugged me, and she hugged your grandfather, and she says, ooh, nice muscles.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah, I mean, I didn't have any crazy experiences like that. Although there was a couple times I actually climbed out of my window. I mean, this is, who would even think of doing this? And meeting Marianne and Debbie, like you'd sneak out in the night and walk around the neighborhood. And my God, I wouldn't think of doing that in a million years. And yeah, we'd walk around, and I don't know what we were doing. I can't really even remember, but it was just the point. But it's 2, 3 o'clock. Oh God, so stupid.
I'm pretty sure my mom used to do that. We went tubing at that river in Atlanta, and it was like a 2-hour drive back up to the city, and my mom and Molly were like talking about all the stupid stuff they used to do.
Oh my God, it was awful.
Yeah.
So I wonder they made it. Oh, they were crazy. They were crazy. And yeah, I thought, you know, Molly was a bad influence on your mother, and your mother was a bad influence on Molly, and together they were a dynamic duo, and they loved each other, and they still do. But yeah, they did a lot of crazy stuff.
Man, it's kind of funny because, like, I know me and Emma aren't anything like my mom, and I know Kenzie, Ella, and AJ are nothing like Molly either.
Isn't that funny? Well, you know, I mean, it's the circumstance. I can remember, you know, who Pat and Paul are, of course. Mm-hmm. And one time, Paul said, You know, I heard some people outside in the circle, because it like a cul-de-sac around, outside in the circle, 2 o'clock in the morning, and one of them sounded like Kelly, but it couldn't have been Kelly because they were drinking beer and everything. And we thought they were drinking beer. I said, no, it was Kelly. Yeah. So, yeah. So they did a lot of, they pushed the envelope quite a bit. But both of them turned out amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing mothers and wives and people.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd have thunk it? But when your mother, when you kids act up or do something, I'll say, oh, reminds me of someone I used to know. Just say, I don't know what you're talking about.
At least she wasn't as bad as Larry, how he exploded. What is his name? Alky?
Oh, God, yeah. Alky's father. With the, see, Alky, I bet I can't burn rubber or something. I can't tell, like, Larry, because it wasn't. And he put the, the transmission fell out of the car.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible. Or he was telling me another one. This is, you know, he was so kid. And so this guy had a beautiful, beautiful pumpkin. And so Larry and his buddy smashed it.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so Larry's like, now, wasn't that horrible to do? You probably broke some little kid's heart. So Larry's walking by on his way home from school, and he says to the guy, hey, what happened to that pumpkin?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, the guy started chasing him, because you broke it, you know. Hey, what happened to that pumpkin? It was a great-looking pumpkin. And so the guy, I don't think he ever caught him, but the guy was, you know. But Larry's like, wasn't that terrible? I probably smashed a pumpkin of a little kid.
Yeah. Now, tell me about your sisters. How would you describe them?
Oh, my goodness. We're all very different people. Because we were not, any of us were born in close age to each other. Like, you and Emma are 2 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
I was 6 and a half when Eileen was born. So I had 6 and a half years to be the only child princess, you know. And and Eileen was born. She didn't look, dark brown hair, brown eyes, blonde hair, blue eyes. And she was shy, and she was quiet. And she had a sweetness about her that reminded me of my grandmother in Tennessee. Everybody said that. My grandma in Tennessee, she just loved me. I was her first grandchild, and she really, really loved me. And Eileen was a lot like her, just sort of simple. And I don't mean stupid. I just mean very simplistic and just very sweet and nice. And she never had a lot of self-confidence, but she should have. But you can't make, you know, she's kind of like my dad, too. My dad didn't have that crazy, robust confidence like my mother did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Martha was born on Christmas Eve, and I was 10. So she's 10 years younger than me. And she was just as feisty as they could be, mm-hmm. even as a little kid. She would, you know, she'd be crying and screaming and just nuts. And then she was a tough little kid. You know, she used to, God, she'd walk over in her, we had a corner store, and she'd go over there and buy a 6-pack of Coca-Cola or something, you know, and she was like 5, you know? I'm making it up now, but she was tough. And she put my parents through some pretty rotten stuff, you know? But then she's probably, now she's got, her kids are turned out great. So mm-hmm. of all of her flaws, she's a pretty neat, decent mother, decent daughter, and amazing sister. And I mean, if her kids are great. Eileen's kids, you know, they're a little more troubled, but you know, Eileen didn't marry probably as well as she could.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's Amy, which is probably a combo platter of all of us. I was 15 when Amy was born, so you can see none of us grew up in the same family, mm-hmm. you know. And when I got married, Amy was 4.
Wow.
You know, when I got, she was born in 66 and I got married in 70. So I never grew up with Amy, you know. She mm-hmm. was like, and Larry and Doug, they'd take her down to the boulevard, the bar, and they'd sit her in the bar and to give her Coca-Cola and stuff. Larry called her Impy. But, so we're all very, very different. But as we've gotten older and bad things have happened, Eileen passing away and everything, we've all gotten very close. And now we're just grown women who love our families and love each other.
Mm-hmm. Y'all definitely got great grandma's kick. Like, when she's over something, she's over it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, exactly.
Hanging up on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, okay. Okay, okay, dear, I gotta go now. Oh, I have to go to the bathroom. Bye. Miss all that stuff. But yeah, you know, Eileen had a sense of humor. And she could tell funny jokes and stuff that you wouldn't think would come out of her. But, you know, not as outgoing as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Let's see. Do you remember any stories great-grandma used to tell you?
My mother?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She told a lot of them. Most of them not very good. I mean, not very happy. But what she used to say, my grandparents, my mother's parents, they lived in Detroit. My mother was married in Rochester. Was born in Rochester, but then her parents moved to Detroit. Because it was the Depression. My mother was born in 1931 and it was the Depression. So they moved to Detroit to be in the auto industry, and my grandfather got a job in the auto industry. But they, again, never owned the house, my grandfather and my grandmother. And my grandfather was an alcoholic. And he would disappear for long periods of time. And Dorothy, my mother's sister, was 19 years older than my mother. Talk about a difference. And so she would talk about, so when he disappeared, my mother and my grandmother moved to Rochester and lived with her grandmother. And she said, my grandmother just loved me. We'd get down, I'd lay on the floor on a Sunday morning and we'd read the comics together. And it was the happiest time of her life. And then she said, my grandmother came home and said, Mary Elizabeth, I'm getting back with your father and we're moving back to Detroit. So she gave up this, they lived in a little house on Mildor Street, which is in the city, and but she had a yard and everything, and moved back to an apartment in Detroit in what we call the hood, you know, not a very nice neighborhood, with, they shared a bathroom, you know, no yard, in the middle of the city, and she was unhappy. And then the I guess my grandfather was good for about a year not drinking, and then he used to start drinking again, and I mean, you probably heard this story. He was going to go out and go drinking, and my grandmother's, she barred the door. Ray, Ray, please don't drink. Please don't go. So he jumped out the window.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So he was just, he was very outgoing. My mother got that outgoing part from him and the brains from him. She used to tell a lot of stories like that with, you know, my grandfather and moving and when she said, after my parents got married, they stayed at a hotel in Detroit. I don't know the name of it, but I can't think of it. And so here she's, you know, the blushing bride the next morning. And who's sitting at, they're eating breakfast in the, who's sitting at the next table is all the New York Yankees.
Oh my goodness.
And my father loved baseball. And it was like Joe DiMaggio and Babe Ruth and all these famous people. He's like, Mary, Mary, that's the New York Yankees. And she was like, well, who cares? Look at me. I'm, you know, the bride. And now when she got older, she was pissed that herself for being, you know, not even thinking about it. My father could have gotten all those autographs and with those amazing people. So that was a funny story. So then after they got married, she said to him, I'm not going to have a family in Detroit. I want to move back to Rochester. Well, my father had a decent job at Ford Motor Company. Another thing about my father was my grandmother said he could iron a shirt better than anybody she ever saw. my mother was going to marry my father was son of sharecroppers in Tennessee. They were very poor. And so he said to my mother, I don't want you to marry that hillbilly, you know. And she said, Daddy, you've done everything you wanted to your whole life and I'm going to marry him. And then my grandfather had to love him like everybody did. So anyway, my father didn't want to move, but they did. And they moved and they had a car or something. And they moved to Rochester with an ironing board sticking out of the window.
Oh, my
goodness. Isn't that funny? I mean, what's an ironing board these days? Also, my father, when my mother, when he wanted to date my mother, and she said, I won't date anybody without a car. Is it okay? Yeah. And so my father went and bought a car, but he didn't have a license. So you'll find this amusing because you're about to get your license, hopefully. And so he goes to the DMV or whatever, and he says, I want to get a license, you know. And they said, have you ever driven a car? No, but I've driven a tractor. Okay, here, here's your license.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that funny? No, I've driven a tractor. So they moved here to Rochester, and they had no money. My father got a job making so much less money, and he was absolutely miserable at Stromberg Carlson. And then he ended up getting a job at Gleason's, is where he ended up working forever and retiring. And they again lived in an apartment. And when the landlady heard that my parents were going to have me, she evicted them.
Why?
She didn't want any kids.
Oh. When did the yellow house become a thing? You know, that one in the city? Or it's not a yellow house, or had the yellow carpet or something. You guys talk about it all the time.
The yellow carpet.
I don't know.
And that is Laurelton Road when we were growing up? Well, didn't you mean the carpet in the kitchen? Who puts carpeting in the kitchen?
There was carpeting in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I'm sure it was disgusting. And it was a thing back in the 60s. But yeah, so anyway, then they got evicted, so we moved into another apartment on Edgeland Street on the corner of Edgeland and Bay. Again, sort of in the hood, but not, you know, it was nice at the time. And it only had one bedroom. So I slept in an iron crib. The crib was iron in my parents' bedroom till I was 5.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And then it was a tiny little living room. Wasn't as big as this, maybe half the size of this. And then a bedroom, which was, there was no door on the bedroom. It was just the plastic curtain between. So it's probably, you know, because it's like a three family. And then this tiny little kitchen. I don't even know where we ate. And I guess, and I don't know, remember the bathroom, but my mother said when I got older, that we had cockroaches. Ooh. And she wouldn't let anybody know we had cockroaches, so she kept all of our food and all of our dishes in the refrigerator.
Wow.
And then, so they saved their money and saved their money, and they bought this when I was 5. They bought a little house on Spencer Road, and that was the first house that they lived, and we lived there. I was in sixth grade when we moved to Laurelton. Because our family, well, Eileen was born there, but now Martha. So, or maybe Martha, I'm not sure. I can't remember. So, that's, I don't even remember the question.
I don't either.
It's okay.
All right. Is there anything you've never told me but want to tell me now?
Oh, my. I don't know what I've told you and what I haven't told you. I don't carry a lot of secrets. I don't know.
Then let's see. For any future generations listening to this, is there any wisdom you'd like to pass down onto them? What would you want them to know?
Well, future generations, I would say, this is the best lesson my mother ever taught me. The only thing you have control over in your life is your attitude. And I would say be kind to people, appreciate people. One thing I learned as I've gotten older, it was like, you know, without consciously thinking of it, I can be excuse me, I have a drink of water. I don't have to be really nice to them. They're my family. They have to like me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's not right. You know what I mean? They don't have to like you. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to be good to you and kind, but if you're a miserable brat, they don't have to like you, you know? Or when you get married and you're still kind of a snot, you know? My husband didn't have to like me, and all of a sudden you realize you're responsible for your own actions. And I'd say get an education, you know? It's the best thing you can do for yourself, and take care of yourself and love you. love yourself first before you ever love anybody else. And that's not easily said. It's easier said than done. But a lot of people just think, I'm going to depend on you to make me happy. Well, you'll never really be happy until you figure out how to make yourself happy. So future generations, I'd say, nothing else is different. You know, people are people. Doesn't matter what the generation is. It's 100 years from now, people will still be flesh and blood and have all those same feelings of love and dislike and unhappiness and all that. And those are just normal feelings. But be good and try to fit God into your life. You know, it helps a lot. It really does.
We just talked about this, how Papa didn't care what we like celebrated. He just wanted us to believe in something other.
Yes, he did. I mean, he didn't care if you were Hindu, Catholic, like, you know, he had kind of a thing against Catholics. Don't ask me. You know, when I'd swear, he'd say, you're talking like a Catholic.
Which is funny because we are Catholic.
I know, but it? I, you know, but I mean, at the time, yeah. You know, but he wasn't, and he grew up in a very strict Protestant household. He was the first one in his family to marry a Catholic. And I was the first one in my family to marry a non-Catholic. So I would say with the two most tragic things that have happened to me, well, obviously the loss of your grandfather, if I didn't think I'd see him again someday, I'm not sure I could have borne it. And the same with my mom, you know, and Eileen. And for Larry, I mean, for losing his daughter, he knows someday he'll see her again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so future generations, the advice or whatever I would say would be, probably somebody like me would have said 100 years ago, you know. Although nowadays people are more in touch with their feelings. You know, before, when I was growing up, you didn't talk about feelings. Never.
Yeah.
You know, you had to be, I can remember somebody saying about me, and it wasn't a very nice thing to say. You know, she's easy to talk to because she understands. Not like Mary Jo, who's kind of, what would the word be? Not very deep, you know, surface. Smiles.
Sentimental.
No, just not very deep. You know, mm-hmm. Didn't want to talk about feelings.
Yeah.
Because my mother didn't want to. My mother changed the shape. Guess we all change as we get older. She never talked about feelings. When my dog died, Susie, I cried. Well, I hope you're going to cry that much when I die. And then she got a dog. And guess what? She cried like a baby when that dog died. But I didn't say anything. But you're going to cry like that when I die? Yes, mother. Yes, I did, actually. So, that's my advice for future generations. Take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice.
You know? Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's 6 minutes left.
Okay.
So we can end it here. I could ask you another question.
Ask me questions.
All right. Let's see. Well, I know. So apparently run-ins with famous people run in the family, because you just said that your mom and dad saw like the whole Yankees team.
Yes.
And then you saw in the Bahamas.
Oh, well, no, we were in Bermuda. We saw Bruce Jenner and his wife Christy, and she's like, oh, Bruce, look at the little girls. There was your mother and Aunt Kim. Then we were in New York for a marathon, and we were outside. We were not too far from Radio City Music Hall. We saw Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. They were filming a movie. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a pretty famous movie. And then when we were there in New York with Kim, I think, in the winter. I don't remember. Anyway, we saw the race car driver, a short guy. I can't think of his name right now, and I really like him, too. And who else have we seen? Oh, Michael Strahan, of course, and Kelly Ripa. Yes. You know, Michael kissed me on the cheek.
You still got the pictures.
Yes, exactly. So, run-ins with famous people. I don't know. Maybe your mother and Aunt Kim have met famous people. Oh, Aunt Kim and Dad were in New York, and they went to something, and they met, I think it's Tracy Morgan. You know, so I'd have to ask your mother who she's met. Mm. And your father and I went, your grandfather and I went to, we never met him, but we went to see the Billy Joel musical in New York, and who comes up on stage and sings at the end but Billy Joel? And it was not, he was not supposed to be there. He just is in the audience.
Wow.
It was so exciting. And he sang in a New York State of Mind. But I've never really met anybody that I can think of. Yeah, Ben Vereen's a dancer. We met him in Bermuda, too. But yeah, I don't think I've met a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I know when I heard the Bruce Jenner story for the first time, that was crazy. Because it was like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was after he just won the decathlon, you know, or whatever it was. And she's like, oh, Bruce, look at the little cute little girls. And then, so I remember we came home and I said to my sisters or whatever, shake the hand that shook Bruce and Lana Jenner's hand. Now he's a girl, but I mean, he was so handsome and so big muscle. I mean, he just, you know, won the most difficult, you know, in the Olympics. So, yeah, I don't think I've met any too many. Who have you met that's famous?
Well, I've met the Jack and Jack, those singers, and I've met Bozzy. And you know how my mom and dad liked that show, Big Brother?
Yes.
There was, like, this DJ that was on the show. And when we went to New York City, you know how we stayed in that brand new hotel when we went the first time? She was the DJ in the hotel. So that was kind of funny.
That's cool.
And that's really it. Because we didn't end up going to Kelly and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it still? Yeah, no, it was Kelly and Michael when we went to New York City.
Yeah, I think it was. Yes. Because it was the same year as Grace.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think I've met too many famous people. I'd like to be rich, but not famous, so nobody noticed me.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like Hannah Montana.
Exactly. Exactly. And now she's Miley Cyrus, and I think she's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, when I was growing up, I liked the Beach Boys, and I liked the Beatles, and I liked the Four Seasons. I didn't like all the crazy rock. I wasn't a fan of the Rolling Stones and all the Jimi Hendrix. They had all that crazy stuff. But Larry and Diane were. It's funny, because Larry and Diane, as close as we were, our music tastes were totally different. Totally different. Mm-hmm. Larry wouldn't have listened to a Barry Manilow if his life depended on it. And I love Barry Manilow. And I'll sell him something. Like, really? Who sings that? It's Barry Manilow. So, just kind of funny. But yeah, our tastes were very different.
Yeah, whenever we are at your house and we go through the big box of vinyls to find something that we know, it's all the Beatles and this and that. I think there's one Beach Boys CD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those are Diane's. Maybe she didn't like the Beach Boys, but yeah, they were a lot of 60s, so those were from when she was in high school, you know. Mm-hmm. But isn't that cool having those little 45s, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I like to, when I was younger, I loved to read. Now I'm just mentally lazy. I just watch television. But I used to read all the time. And Gone with the Wind is a 2,000-page book written by Margaret Mitchell. It's about the Civil War. It's a marvelous book. I've read it like 5 or 6 times. But the first time I read it, I was 10.
Oh, my goodness.
My mother was so upset about it. She went and talked to the priest about it. That's what you used to do. You go talk to the priest. Because it had swear words in it and a lot of stuff like that. And he said, oh, Mrs. Trotter, she won't understand those words. And I don't think I did when I was... But I was 10 years old. I read it 2,000-page book.
I can't read a 2,000-page book now.
Well, I'm so lazy, you know. Larry's like, I don't read books. I read magazines. No, but yeah, I used to love to read.
He reads the closed captions on Bonanza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, loves his Ancient Aliens and all that other stuff. Now we're hooked on Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Oh. Well, we have 30 seconds left.
Well, I would say thank you, Lily Gannon, for interviewing me. And it's been a wonderful time. And it hasn't felt like an interview. It's felt like just a nice long chat with my granddaughter that I adore.
Thank you for letting me interview you and all the... I learned a lot.
You did, really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, I'm glad. Right. Well, you can interview me anytime. I got a million stories. I got to take over for my mother.
Yeah.
With the stories.
Her legacy.
Yes, exactly. Well, she remembers she had her birthday. She did give me her crown last year.
Mm-hmm. She passed on the baton.
Yes. So, heavy the head that wears the crown.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, sweetheart. It's been great.